Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Saturday night edition. Today's date, of course, the 17th of November, 2007. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, coming to you live and direct from my central France location. Boy, all of the things we've talked about so long are actually starting to take place all around us. I mean, in earnest here. And I'm wondering, you know, what to tell loved ones in America about what they should do. I'm wondering what to tell people that are important to me. And I thought I'd maybe talk about that a little while, because there are a lot of people out there who have tried to explain this conspiracy to their family in the cold shoulder. But even the people who have been resistant to these truths, these facts, as we've discovered them, are now not resistant to the fact that something terrible is on the offing here for all of us. And and one of the things that I think that offers us is a chance to help people we care about. You know, I've talked to people in my family about this, and there are many of them who are not interested in any of these facts. They think, of course, like many of the people out there, that much of what I talk about is gone too far. And you know, even people on the internet, of course, that complain about me, which there are detractors out there, they too complain that my take on the world has gone too far. Well, you guys know by reading the books I've placed up there and doing your own homework that, in fact, we probably haven't gone far enough. In fact, that conspiracy is probably more serious and more damaging and more more criminal and more morally bankrupt than even we know. But that being said, so how do we get this message to family members who we need to convey this to so that they can prepare for the mess that's coming? Because there is a mess on the horizon. How do we convince people that we love, that what they need to do is start taking some serious measures? You know, in some instances, I've taken to try to make decisions for them on my own by way of advising them outside of the conspiracy. For example, a family member wanted to buy a home in this big downturn, and because they said the home that they had been interested in buying was now much cheaper. And, of course, what I did was I went out and found a bunch of articles for them and clearly explaining that the bottom of this market is nowhere near in sight, that we were going to find prices even half of what they are today at some point in the future, and that, in fact, if a house was what this person wanted, that they wouldn't be in a good situation to buy it right now, with the fact that it's probably going to be worth half when they get done. So, and I showed them this in black and white and with the math, and they chose to stop. They chose not to do it, and I was pleased. And I didn't include in the conversation the full implosion to these folks. I didn't give them the entire spiel, as it were, because, of course, they are not up and running with this stuff, and frankly, they don't really sign off on most of it. You know, there's some people you just can't talk to about it. It's not because they don't believe you per se, but rather they can't believe it as a subject. And they're so far away from, and this is an older generation I'm talking about, they've been bottled up in this and for so long that, you know, they don't want to get involved in it. And the other thing that I've found that has been very encouraging, and I hope everybody here in Europe as well as America is starting to find this the same, young people are finally beginning to migrate toward these facts. They are. They're finally observing the world around them and coming to the conclusions that many of us have been sitting with for quite some time. And this fact is important because the young people will actually put a physical face on this fight. I mean, with my physical condition in my 50s, to get out and even walk a mile I got bad knees and all kinds of, to do all that kind of stuff would be prohibitive for me. But young people actually will take their anger out into the public realm, and they'll march, they'll make signs, they'll confront the liars with their opinions, and you're seeing this in France right now. There are protests in the streets of France, and of course the media in America is not giving you the full picture on that. They're telling you that Sarkozy in his determination will defeat these young people or these strikers, but what you don't know is there are a lot of strikes coming out against the new government. There is a teacher strike in the looming in the future here. There is a transport strike ongoing. There are students striking about the autonomy of universities and the cutback in funding and the privatization of their university structure here in France. There is food producers. There are many food producers and segments within the food manufacturing sector that are on strike. The fishermen are blocking ports over their fuel prices. And of course, 80% of the fuel price here in France, believe it or not, is tax. So they're saying, you know, as the world's price for diesel fuel goes up for their fishing boats, the government should offset it somehow so they can continue to make a living. But the French have a long history of actually taking to the streets, very much a French way to approach government. It's in their, it's in their culture. It's a cultural norm that you'll all see whenever you see the French angry at a condition, they take to the streets about it. And sometimes with results that people are pretty shocked by. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, more than that now, I guess. It must have been about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, just before 9/11. There was a trash and garbage workers strike in the city of Lyon. And these people got angry and marched. And what they did was they took probably 1,000 tons of rubbish and spread it out on every major thoroughfare in the entire city of Lyon. There was trash and garbage from one end of the city to the other. You couldn't even walk in the streets without going ankle-deep in garbage. They absolutely turned this place into a cesspit of potential disease. And that's what they did with their anger. And I'll tell you something, I have never seen the likes of that in an American protest in my life. See, this is one of the things that we've talked about. I mean, these people that are criminalizing our world, they are not the people who pick up rubbish. They're not the people who build the buildings and turn on your electric. That's us. We have control of that stuff. Regardless of whether you're working for a private company doing it or you're doing it for some government entity, it's still in our hands. I mean, they might be the administrators of these systems, but we are the rank and file. And if we shut down the services to a society, or we break ranks with their criminality, hopefully in a major way, we can be felt. Our opinions can be heard. And I've seen it over and over again here, but the French government and under Sarkozy is threatening to bring out what we call here the CRS. Now, they go out into French society and find people who are, for you metric people, over 1.80 meters and muscular. For you Americans, you got to be over 6 feet and you got to have no neck to become one of these CRS police. That's the police department. And they teach them to beat the tar out of people. And almost never, ever, is their violence met with a lawsuit after. The courts will refuse to hear a CRS brutality case. And they go out into protests and city activities and whatnot, and they pound the tar out of people. They've been around for a very long time, and they've always used this willingness to use violence against the public. So we've seen some serious clashes, even recently with the students. They started punching on the students, and there's no better way to get the French public angry at the government than to see their children getting beat up for peacefully protesting something, which is exactly what happened. And I think, you know, the TV, because it's Zionist controlled, spins it in the direction of the government, but I think in the public opinion realm, it's going quite the opposite direction. You know, I hear people talking about this man Sarkozy just in my daily life, and I don't bring up the fact that I have this take on life because I'm not French, and the French don't appreciate foreign opinions about their country, believe it or not. So I often just try to bite my tongue and listen. And I see anger here. I see it starting to rise. I see people questioning all of the things that we've been questioning. Many of them don't know the reasons why. And this gets me back to talking about family and stuff. They don't know why things are degrading and deteriorating in the way that they are. But they do understand something is afoot and it's serious. Well, we know how serious. And because we are informed and because we have been following this conspiracy from the beginning, there is a role for us to play in the lives of those who have not been doing the same work as we have. Of course, it can be that the role of educator, but it can also be the role of someone trying to give you advice about how to survive this. Meaning, do you have 20 pounds of extra pasta in your home or a couple of 10-pound or 10-kilo bags of rice sitting around to make sure you have food? Or are you prepared with fuel oil if you live in a cold climate or part of the country that's cold? are you able to start, preparing yourself for any eventuality? Because those, sadly, all of those eventualities are just over the crest of the next hill here. And I've told you before, the reason is financial. It's always going to come back to finances here. If you want a litmus test of how bad and how quickly we're going to find ourselves in a mess, just look how bad the finances are. And I can't help but be amazed how long they've been able to keep this thing going. Even an orderly descent of the dollar, which is a shocker to me, because I thought everybody would just jump out of this mess all at once and you'd see a rush for the exits. And they have, by and large. In geological time, ladies and gentlemen, these events are actually unfolding very quickly. If you're sitting there waiting for the minute-to-minute report to come in, it seems like it's rather slow. But frankly, in the time horizon of our lives, we're actually moving rather quickly to to events that are probably going to reshape every one of our existences permanently. And some of us are even not going to be surviving the next mess. And that's not meant to be a fearmonger here. I'm not getting on this broadcast and trying to do an Alex Jones on you, instill terrible fear in you, and then tell you that it's not the Zionists that are doing this. And that's exactly what he does. I don't get why. I've never been able to figure out why exactly this man does this, except to say that that he's done us all a very huge disservice, because the people that are really responsible for these crimes are never going to be purposely and individually identified unless we do the things that we have done here on the French Connection, and that is point our fingers directly at who did this. And we all know the names. The other day on a file, I actually took more credit than I believe I should have for the movement. Now, what I want to say about that is that I said in a statement that I've had a lot of people help me along the way to get this message out. I want to clarify a couple of things with that statement that I made, because after listening to it again, it maybe wasn't as clear as it should have been, and it sounded a little arrogant, and I didn't want it to be that. I didn't write the books that are on my website. In fact, most of the people who wrote them aren't even alive today, so the information has been out there for a very long time. Most of the information that I am going forward with today came from people who experienced terrible distress in their own lives and terrible threat and effort to get their side of the story out. So for me to take full credit of their accomplishments is really not fair. But what I was able to do is take a leadership role in reintroducing this stuff to a new generation of people who were doing research. When I started saying this stuff back at the end of my RBN days and into my GCN time, there were no other radio stations doing it. No, nobody. There was very little being said about criminal Zionism. As I've told you, if you Googled it, there was practically no one talking about it. It doesn't mean that it hadn't been discussed in some small ways. It didn't mean that Mike Rivero had not already began his identification of these people in some ways, because he already started doing that. But it was myself and my ex-partner, actually, that was putting out a lot of this stuff, reintroducing a lot of the facts, identifying a lot of the crimes of the Zionist group. We started a ball rolling again. So it was the reintroduction that I'm more credited with here than the actual main battle fight here. I mean, and that's a small detail, but an important one, because it really characterizes my work in a fair manner rather than the way I did, and I apologize for that. Of course, there a lot of people have picked up the banner, including people who would like you to like to obfuscate these facts. They're on the surface, they're telling you that they're part of the let's expose the Zionist camp, and then in reality, they're to divert you. This is true with many of the people you'll find on RBN, GCN, and other places, but there are some people like the Piper Group, who in their books and stuff will tell you a lot of the facts. And then, then they make links up to some of these white supremacy groups that will soil the information somehow. I believe it's by design in many instances. You know, the Vanguard and the Stormfront and the rest of them, these are Southern Poverty Law Center systems to me. I've looked at them, and there's just no way that the leadership of those are being set up to. Because white supremacy in its very concept is nonsense. And it's a way for them to point to the rest of the people fighting the fight against Zionism as being racially motivated rather than trying to expose criminals and trying to get rid of criminals out of their lives. And this is exactly what's happened here. Now, to play around with that group as a support base is a bad idea. I don't want them supporting me. I don't want them even coming to my website. I don't want them, the people who support Stormfront or all these other groups, to even be discussing this subject with me, or anybody else for that matter. And that's why I worry about some of these so-called presenters of the truth who have kept their relationships with these groups alive, because that is a ready-made disaster for our information. And of course, you know, they're now passing laws in America that are going to give them the color of law to come into your lives if you've even discussed these facts. And having any link or any connection to a Vanguard or, you know, one of these false militia deals or one of these Stormfront deals is going to get you FEMA camped, probably, or if not that, silenced, surely, victimized in some terrible way. So I don't want to make this ever about individual Jews being the reason for all this, because of course there are a lot, and somebody's asked me this too, how do I know that many or most of the Jews are not involved in this? Well, you know, having lived in New York, I lived in the Upper West Side, people next door to me and people down the street from me and the people that owned a little bagel store downstairs, and there was a guy that owned a little tailor shop where I had to, you know, buttons re-sewn on. There was a guy down the street that owned a kind of a dry goods place that they were all Jewish. And I don't know what they did with their spare time, but certainly I know that some of the people I went to school with and some of the people I sat at the cafe having a coffee with, they weren't aware of this stuff. In fact, they were not religious. Many of them had married and taken wives and girlfriends and whatnot outside of their religion. They didn't go to synagogue. They did not espouse any attitude or presentation that of being better than or any of that stuff. In other words, the statistics bear out what I'm saying right now, that almost half of the Jewish community is actually in America is actually marrying outside of its religion, and that attendance at synagogue for the Jews is at the lowest rate it's ever been as a percentage. So that means a lot of these people have made life choices about what they believe or what they want to follow in life, and it's not this stuff. So Zionism, if you take a look at it, and most of the donations coming into these political parties and AIPAC and the rest, come from this top 20% group within the Jewish community who can be considered wealthy and elitist. And then there's probably another 30% below them who are interacting with that 20% group, supporting them, giving them aid and assistance to their criminality. And then the second half are not doing much of that stuff. And I've seen this in my actual daily life, and I've seen the statistics about the 50% figure not marrying within their own group and not going to church and, well, synagogue for them. So my point being is that for us to blame all Jews is wrong. They're not all involved. No more than all people who believe in Christianity are involved in John Hagee. You want to be blamed for Hagee if you believe in Christ? You want to be blamed for Pat Robertson's actions because you believe in Jesus? Go across the world and find any criminal who happened to have been raised Christian and then say to yourself, well, because you believe in that person, because he's a Christian, you by virtue of your belief system, are also a criminal too. No, that's ignorance. That is dangerous thinking to do that. Now, I have said in the past that it's hard in this truth movement to figure out who's a criminal and who's not when they come from the Jewish community. Because more often than not, the people who are leading some of these 9/11truth.org kind of groups, and the Amy Goodmans of the world, and the Al Frankens of the world, they are up to, John Stewart, which is not a Jewish name, but he's a Jewish, and the William Crystals of the world, and all of these people, they're obfuscating, they're lying, they're getting a paycheck, they're out pounding the pavement on behalf of Zionism, they're criminals, they need to be outed, tracked down, hunted down, and identified, and then in any way we can possibly do it, arrested, marginalized, tried, convicted, and imprisoned, or whatever it takes to stop them. And so, yes, and what you're going to find here is at the top of this conspiracy, it's almost an exclusive club of Jews, exclusive, and they are toting a Zionist bent. Now, those are the facts as far as I've been able to dig them out, and it's rational to me. I look at it and it's rational. And what we find out also is the use of crypto-Judaism within the Christian ranks has been a major way of these people to actually take control of Christian groups. And, of course, the rank-and-file followers of those Christian groups are, in fact, real Christians who have been lied to and duped by people like this Zionist Hagee and Robertson and the rest. So this is the way I see this, and I think many of you do too, because when I get emails back from you, that's the way you see it as well. But of course, then I get these crazies out there who say, you're nuts, it's all Jews, every one of them, no. And I go, come on, that's, first of all, that's racist. Using that same logic, every single person who believes in Christ should be blamed for Hagee's actions and for these knucklehead Christian Zionists running around the country waiting to be raptured. Should be blamed for that. Well, that's foolish, and you all know that. So let's put the blame on the right people. Let's name the right names. Let's get the people who have actually done it identified. Let's not give them an opportunity to call us racist and say that, you know, their message should not be listened to because they have a racist bent and racist take on all this stuff. Because, in fact, we don't. We're after criminals. We're after the criminals, that's all. And criminality is boy, are we in trouble. Still trying to get up to speed on the website, trying to do some recording on my own here and see how this downloads into my computer. It still don't have the right tools for it. My mixing board, in fact, is less important to do this stuff than I thought it would be. Pain in the neck, actually. I have to do this the old-fashioned way, actually, and kind of download and put it in. And then, of course, you have to start picking on get software that works to do the manipulating and then turning into a file and then reducing the file and putting it in. Sounds easy for people who've done it, and I'll tell you something, it's not when you never have. And then you go to the site and see all the thousands of files that are sitting there demanding your attention and trying to figure it out. It seems like we've got a lull period on the website. I hope that's not turning people away from our efforts here, because it's definitely a time for me to try to figure out how this is all works. So I can take personal responsibility for how it's done and give people who have helped free of charge along the way here, my webmaster in Sweden, to give him a chance to spend more time with his personal responsibilities and family responsibilities and give me the chance to do this myself. Anyway, what else is happening? We have an interview tomorrow night. It's all set up. I hope there'll be no cancellations. It doesn't seem like there will be, and you can look forward to that. Always very provocative information coming from that guest. And we've got Rafik coming up next week again. I've asked him to research a couple of subjects for another installment, and people enjoy Muhammad Rafik's work. And I'm hoping that some of you maybe can start spreading our information like we once did again. The books need to be out there. We need to find people who read whole books. And we need to get them copies of Ramsey's book and of Reed's book and even, you know, Nesta Webster and Dillings and Ford and Lees and, oh, we've got so many up there now, even Jack Bernstein, all of these books. And we have more on the way. Pidcock's book, Andrew Hitchcock's book, which we're going to be doing another installment of next week as well. Lots of things to look forward to. Keep an eye on the financial side of this. I think that's really where you're going to see the fuse being lit in earnest. And I think the implosion that I've been claiming is coming is actually underway. We're in it. I don't think it's something that we're waiting to see happen. I think we're actually in a rather steep slide to the bottom here, and it's happening around us. There are little respites, like we're having right now. The dollar rallied a little bit, people taking their profits out and everything. What that basically is, ladies and gentlemen, is the world trying to take 5 seconds to assess how bad it is. And the people who are in the know are coming back and reporting that it's worse than everyone knows. And I always knew that. So be aware. Be clear about this. Get ready to put up the fight of your life against the crimes that they're going to put against the nation and against the world. We're all sitting on the precipice here, each and every one of us, and it's time for all of us to start paying attention. Every one of us, including those who have fought against the information we've shown. Take care of your families. That's where it's really going to come down, is families. Take care of your families, take care of yourselves. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, please be well. Bye-bye now.